Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Second Take. With the NBA season coming to a close, under 10 games left for each team, it's a good chance to look back and reflect at some of the seasons that these players have had. Today, we specifically wanted to compare the rookie season of Victor Wembanyama to the rookie season of LeBron, two of the highest hyped prospects we've ever had. We've ever seen. So far, it feels like Victor has lived up to the hype he has gotten. And we want to take a look at one of the all-time greatest players compared to this rookie who's just starting out his NBA journey. And a quick rundown of their statistics. LeBron James, as a rookie, averaged 20.9 points per game, 5.9 assists, 5.5 rebounds, 1.6 steals. He shot 41% from the field, 29% from three in 39 minutes per game. On the other hand, we have Victor Wembanyama, who averaged 21 points, 3.5 assists, 8.2 rebounds, 1.2 steals, 3.4 blocks, 46% from the field, 32% from three in 29 minutes per game. So, Roland, what are your initial thoughts on which player has had the best rookie season between these two?
Honestly, between these two, it really is splitting hairs. Okay, they're both generational talents that have lived up to the hype coming into their draft. These were two highly touted, franchise-changing players that actually fit that mold. But if I had to choose, I'm going to go with Victor. Even though his team didn't win as many games, Cleveland won 35 versus the Spurs currently have 18 wins. So there is a big disparity in terms of team success rookie year to rookie year versus LeBron and Wemby. But I'm still going to go with Victor in spite of that, because he has a bigger impact on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. And I can't deny the fact that Wemby is only playing 10 minutes less per game. Right? LeBron James played 40 minutes a game his rookie year, pretty much. And Wembanyama is only playing 29. So I think if Wembanyama was playing 40 minutes a game, the Spurs probably would have won a little bit more games, and his stats would have been significantly better, right? They're pretty even across the board. Both of them are average 21 points per game. Wemby obviously is going to average more rebounds, 10 to 5. And then LeBron is a better playmaker, right? 6 to 4, 6 to 3.5 assists. But Wembanyama is a way better defender just because of his size and his length. So really, LeBron has the playmaking, Wembanyama has the defense. Offensively, they're pretty comparable in terms of how they score. A big standout to me is the starting five for Cleveland, LeBron's rookie year, was pretty steady. Right? They had Carlos Boozer, Ricky Davis, Zydrenius Igalskis. I don't even know how to say that name, but Igalskis. LeBron James, and then Darius Miles. Whereas the Spurs have been flirting and changing and moving constantly to kind of figure out what would best work with Victor. And they didn't really ever find it, you know, this season. And that's why their record's so poor. So I'm going with Victor, even though you're really just splitting hairs, mostly because of his defensive impact.
Yeah. One of the things when I was looking at these two players, because their points per game is basically identical, within 0.1 points per game as of our recording today. And, you know, the NBA has changed a lot since 2003. So I wanted to go back and maybe make it a little bit more comparable to their points per game impact. So in LeBron's rookie year, 2003-2004, the Dallas Mavericks led the NBA in scoring, and they scored 105 points per game, which led the NBA. That season, the Cavs averaged 92.9 points per game. So as a rookie, LeBron scored about 22.5% of the Cavs' total points. and then plus his assists, which added to that offensive input. Today, the Indiana Pacers averaged 122.7 points per game, which lead the NBA. You could definitely see the scoring boom there.
Big jump.
Yep, almost 20 points. The Spurs average 112 points per game, which is more than the leading Dallas Mavericks did back in the day. And the Spurs are one of the worst teams in the NBA this year. And Wemby, of that 112 points per game, he scores about 18.7% of the Spurs points. So, you know, LeBron scored about 4% more of the Cavs' total offensive points. But as you brought up, he also played 39.5 minutes per game compared to Victor's 29.2 minutes per game. And that 10-minute difference, I actually do think Victor could also he could make up that difference, I think, that 4% in those extra 10 minutes. I also think it's worth mentioning, too, that despite that they were both the first pick in the draft, they had different roles and they were in different situations. Bron had more scoring responsibility than Wemby. He wasn't as efficient. Wemby has better shooting stats across the board. But the Cavs are also trying to win games. As you said, 35 wins LeBron led them to. The Spurs aren't really in the same place. They have 18 wins as of today. They could get to 20 by the end of the year, but they're not getting to 30 for sure. Not getting to 25. And like you said, Bron easily has the passing edge. He just had so much on his plate early on. And the Cavs were trying to win. That was an era where teams didn't really tank for high draft picks. So as soon as LeBron came in, they were just going all in, all to the wall. Here, LeBron, lead us. And they won 35 games, which also is probably why his efficiency was a little bit down. As compared to Victor, who has been eased into his responsibility, and he's just gotten stronger throughout the year, but they didn't make him do anything he wasn't quite ready for, whereas maybe LeBron got a lot more of that early on. Wemby's rebounding efficiency and defensive impact, though, is definitely significantly higher than LeBron's was. LeBron was a nice defender, don't get me wrong, a steal and a half his rookie year. You know, a great athlete, but just not the same impact we've seen from Victor this year. I mean, you and me have talked about Victor winning Defensive Player of the Year. How many rookies have ever actually realistically been in that conversation until now? There's not really anybody. So I'm also going with Victor having the better rookie season than LeBron did. And the defensive impact is probably the biggest reason why, but also the slight, you know, uptick in efficiency. And I think with more responsibility, Victor's numbers would look even better, even just giving him 5 more minutes a game and not taking him out and trying to lose occasionally, which the Spurs do. So I'm also on that Victor train. This guy is just like, he's on the path that everyone thought he would be.
Yeah, it's, I agree with everything you said, right? The only thing LeBron kind of has or had rookie to rookie is the playmaking, right? That was honestly his biggest attribute coming in as a prospect, is it's Magic Johnson with a jumper, you know, Magic Johnson with the ability to score, right? That's what LeBron kind of was. And honestly, that's what he was throughout his career. We've seen LeBron at his peak be the best playmaker in the world. We've also seen him average 30 a game, right? But rookie-to-rookie comparison, Wembanyama has it, just plain and simple. And a large part of that's because of his freakish size, right? And his ability to defend all positions. And like you said, just the defensive impact. If all else was even, Victor is the better defender. Victor's probably the best defensive prospect we've ever seen. And for that reason, Wembanyama takes it, like you said. There really isn't much of an argument. I think the only rookie campaign that is better, you know, Michael Jordan. You know, I mean, Larry Bird. I can't remember if Larry won, you know, Larry. If you go before that, you got a bunch of young Wilt Chamberlain, you know, putting up absurd numbers. But anything before the 90s, like, it's not even comparable anymore. It's just a totally different brand of basketball. So Wembanyama takes it in this debate. And my question to you is, what do you think Wembanyama's stats would look like? Or what do you think his impact would look like if he played as much as LeBron did his rookie year?
Oof, man, if we're looking at 30 minutes per game, I think we're seeing about, you're looking at about 26, 4, and 10 to 11. But then his defensive stats are probably going to be even crazier. He's probably getting almost 4 blocks, almost 2 steals. His efficiency might be going down a little bit just because he's shooting more shots. But I mean, this guy, I mean, if with those stats, most people would say he might be borderlining top 20 player, top 15 player status just in his rookie year alone, which hasn't really happened since, like you mentioned, like the pre-90s, like Jordan came in and was a star. Actually, a guy who I think Victor's most comparable to in the whole history of the NBA is Ralph Sampson. He just wasn't allowed to shoot back then. He had very similar numbers to Ralph Sampson's rookie year. But we just haven't seen that impact from a rookie in such a long time. I mean, LeBron was fantastic, and that's why we're comparing the two. But it's just, if he played more minutes, it would be surpassing LeBron, and you have to go even further back into time periods when some of us weren't even alive and some of us were really young to find a good comparison for that.
Yeah, it's just interesting to see. I think that really is the main discussion behind Wemby's impact is, what is it going to look like when he starts averaging 35 minutes a game, when he starts getting more workload? Because with this minimal dosage, let's be honest, for a number one option, for the best player on your team, 29 minutes a game is very small sample size. I mean, Giannis historically kind of has a lower minutes per game compared to a player like LeBron or, you know, Jokic or Embiid or any one of those players. But he's always kind of averaged 34, 35, right? And that kind of seemed a little bit low. But Wemby only at 29 minutes? Really? Like, I get easing him in, but he's been playing professional basketball his whole life, it feels like. You know what I mean? So what is there to ease into? I want to see the full Wembanyama experience because it is that special to watch.
You know, it's kind of funny you say that because I actually question if we'll ever get that. Because you brought up a point with the minutes per game and the Giannis minutes per game. So if you think about it, Greg Popovich was the coach when the Spurs were winning all those rings, and he's still the coach now for the Spurs. Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, they were all playing under 30 minutes a game for most of that stretch, especially late in their career. And then if you look at the Bucks, Mike Budenholzer came from a Greg Popovich system. He was an assistant for Greg. He goes to Milwaukee. When he was in Milwaukee, he's not there anymore. They did the same thing. They played their starters significantly less minutes. I mean, also the Bucks would just kill everyone in the regular season, so that helped. But they relied a lot more on their other players and their bench, so when the playoffs came, they could play their guys more. So I guess a big question, too, is, like, is Greg Popovich ever going to actually play Wemby more than 29, 30, 31 minutes per game? Because historically, he hasn't really done that with his stars. And so maybe we are seeing the most that Greg Popovich is willing to do, at least until a playoff situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. If they're going to want to do that and actually win basketball games, they really need to up their depth.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest here, there's a lot more talent now than there was 10 years ago, than there was 20 years ago. The Spurs could get away with it because they had Tim Duncan, they had Manu Ginobili, they had Tony Parker, they had,
They had Kawhi Leonard for a little bit.
Kawhi Leonard in that second stint, that second run. Boris Diaw was a fantastic player.
Patty Mills.
Right? They had insane amount of depth. That 2014 Spurs team is one of the most underrated teams in the history of basketball, right? And that's not even peak Duncan, yeah, right?
It's past peak Duncan.
So if they're going to try to pull off a repeat of that, Wembanyama needs a legit second and third fiddle plus veteran depth across the board. And if, are they going to get do that, or are they going to continue to just I hate how they manage this season. As you could tell from the previous pod, this podcast, I hate when franchises waste years off of great players, right? And Wembanyama's one of those dudes. And every season you have him, you should be competing for a championship, because you don't have he doesn't come around every year or every 5 years or even every 10 years. He's a once in a 20 year type of dude, you know. So that will be very unfortunate if we don't get to see Wembanyama play 33, 34, 35 minutes a game, because the type of impact that he could have in a game where he plays 35 plus, just watch the Knicks tape. He played 38 minutes, 40 points, 20 rebounds, 7 assists. You know, it's, I don't know. That's a great question to raise. Special.
I also do think this is the Spurs' last year trying to bottom out. I think they're going to get a high draft pick, their own draft pick, look for a core player, hopefully a future starter for them to add to Victor Wembanyama. They'll have some cap space. I think a fun trade for them would be looking at trading for Trae Young to the Spurs. Him and Victor would fit perfectly. Obviously, we'll see if that's the route that they choose, trading for a star, a secondary star this early, or to just let it ride with the cap space and young guys. But I think they're in a different situation than other teams with young players, as you mentioned, because Wemby is capable of leading a team to the playoffs already, it feels like, at this point in his career, with a competent team around him. And as we've seen recently with teams trying to get together big threes, I mean, just look at the Lakers with AD and Braun, who won a ring with those two best players. You have to have a team around those guys. You can't just have high-end, top-end talent for your top two or three guys. You have to have other guys. And this would be the offseason for the Spurs to do it, because they have all the flexibility in the world to make that difference and start building a real roster around Wemby.
I totally agree with you. I feel like draft picks and pick hoarding has gone too far for a lot of these teams, right? Oklahoma City, perfect rebuild. Okay, let's be honest. They're in competition for the number one seed in the West after 7 years of perpetual tanking, right? Took them that long.
Yeah.
They've also got a billion first-round draft picks, and they basically own everyone's draft picks for the next 15 years, it feels like, even though that's hyperbole. At some point, you're going to have to decide between, do we just keep drafting young talent and then basically wasting them away because there's only 15 roster spots and there's really only 8 or 9 players that play? Or do we go all in for that one piece that we're actually missing, right? The same can go for San Antonio. They have Toronto's picks. They have their own picks. They have a bunch of other picks. They're always terrible for the past, ever since Kawhi left, it felt like. I mean, they had a couple years there with LaMarcus Aldridge, and, you know, but ever since then, it's been 5 or 6 years since they've actually been relevant. At some point, these franchises that are bottoming out year after year need to make a decision on how much longer they want this to go and what assets they're willing to give up to actually push the needle forward, right? Trae Young's a great example. I think that's a wonderful fit. That doesn't solve all of their issues, right? If they really want to win, like you said, they need to fill out the roster with good, competent veteran pieces. And Wemby, it feels like he's ready to win now, right? He doesn't need that learning curve of a young player because he's been playing so long professionally. So he's ready to go. Let's just see if San Antonio is.
Yeah. And anyone who is listening, let us know, what moves do you want to see the Spurs make in order to improve their roster around Victor Wembanyama next season? And we're going to move on to something a little newer. Shout out to Kenny Beecham and his friends on their pod. Got this idea from them. We're going to do a little start, bench, or cut. Three different versions of this player. The player playing for different teams. You will start, bench, and cut each version of them. Roland, we're going to start with Kevin Durant, OKC version, Golden State version, and Brooklyn version.
Okay, so I'm cutting Brooklyn. Mostly because he was injured 95% of the time, it feels like, while he was there. And that was just one of the historic implosions of an NBA franchise that we've ever seen. So got to cut that one. That's obvious. I'm going to bench OKC. Yeah, I know that's MVP Durant, whatever. He had a legitimate case to be the best player in the world while he was on Golden State. I know Bron, and Bron was probably still a better player. But that was the stint, that 3 or 4 year stint with Golden State, where there was actually a discussion between him and LeBron. It was always for LeBron and everybody else. Durant finally entered his name into that basket with Golden State. So I'm starting Golden State. I am benching OKC, and I'm forgetting about the Brooklyn Kevin Durant.
I 100% agree with you on that. Kevin Durant was the best player in the finals for those Golden State Warriors teams, going head-to-head with LeBron James. I know their team was still loaded, but I do agree with you. I think Golden State version of Kevin Durant was the best version of Kevin Durant. And moving on to our next player, we have Kyrie Irving. And the three versions of Kyrie we have are Cleveland Kyrie, Boston Kyrie, and Brooklyn Nets Kyrie.
Man, I'm starting Cleveland. I mean, that's not hard, but starting Cleveland.
There you go.
I'm going to bench Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to cut Boston. The way that he left Boston was pretty rough. And I think Kyrie gets a lot of the blame for Brooklyn when in reality, I agreed with everything that he was trying to point out. It was kind of stupid how an unvaccinated player from a different team could come and play in Brooklyn, but he couldn't because he wasn't vaccinated. He gets a really bad rap for the Brooklyn stuff when in reality, it was just dumb. So I'm benching Brooklyn, starting Cleveland, and I'm cutting Boston because the whole Boston thing was a mess.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a really good point about the Brooklyn Nets version of Kyrie Irving, and I actually do agree with you. I think he played better basketball in Brooklyn. He still wasn't super available, really, for either team, to be honest, and Cleveland is the far superior version of Kyrie, the best we've seen. But the Brooklyn COVID stuff with Kyrie, he got a little bit too much crap for that than he probably should have. He should have got crap for all the injury stuff because that was still a problem for him. But all the other stuff when he was being forced to sit out, like you said, it was kind of a extreme thing that the NBA did. But I like that. I agree with your start bench cut once again for Kyrie Irving. And the last player I have for you, this guy has honestly had a super underrated career because I feel like in these three spots I brought up, like, he's made a significant impact in each one of them. So I have Jimmy Butler versions in Minnesota, Philadelphia, and Miami.
Wow. Okay, you're starting Miami.
NBA That's Finals, Jimmy.
Easy. Constantly in the conference finals. He's made two NBA Finals appearances. That one's easy to get out of the way. The interesting dynamic is Philadelphia versus Minnesota. Because they were both very short stints. And he helped them kind of elevate the team to heights where they really never were, or at least expectations that they never were before. But you got to bench Philly. And you got to cut Minnesota. Because they only made the eighth seed in Minnesota. They were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 bounces away from making the conference finals. So
yeah,
got to go with Philly bench and cut to Minnesota for sure.
Yeah, I really like that you brought that up. You know, obviously Miami, he's led them to two finals with Bam and multiple conference finals, all this playoff success. Philadelphia, if Kawhi doesn't make that shot, they might make the finals and they might win the finals with peak Ben Simmons, J.J. Redick, Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid. Like, that was a really good team, probably the best team Philly's had around Joel. And then they chose to pay Tobias Harris instead of Jimmy Butler, so he went to Miami. But I think the Minnesota one is kind of underrated. I would probably also put it last, but the fact that he took a team that was absolute crap and he actually led them to the playoffs for the first time in years. And then on top of that, the next season, when he was trying to get out, he took the group of bench players and was beaten on the starters in practice, saying, "I'm him, get me out of here." So Jimmy Butler has definitely been a fun player to look back on and watch. And he's been really impactful everywhere he's been in his career. And
yeah, he's one of those players that's perpetually forgotten about because he doesn't really press the regular season. Mm-hmm. He is definitely a playoff player. And, you know, I don't know if he's a number one. Like, he's made it twice to the finals as a number one player, both times being outmatched significantly by the opponent. But he is one heck of a number two, if you anybody better than him. So
one of the best number twos he would be. But yeah, thanks to everyone who decided to go through and listen today. Let us know what you think. Did Bron or Wemby have a better rookie season? And do you agree with our start, bench, and cuts of these star NBA players? And until next time.